políticas que por cierto habían causado la ira de los detentores del poder económico y financiero de sus respectivos países. Esta semana le ha tocado el turno a la vicepresidenta argentina Cristina Fernández, quien también ejerció la presidencia de su país. Como en los otros casos de líderes latinoamericanos sujetos a acusaciones infundadas, a la expresidenta y líder indiscutida del movimiento peronista le achacan delitos de corrupción en la llamada causa Vialidad. El fiscal Diego Luciani ha pedido al juez que sigue la causa que la expresidenta sea condenada nada menos que a 12 años de prisión y se la inhabilite de ejercer cualquier cargo público a perpetuidad. El juicio ha estado marcado desde el comienzo por irregularidades procesales. La más grave de ellas es que a la causa original se le agregaron nuevas acusaciones sin que se ampliaran las indagatorias sobre ellas. Principalmente, no se le permitió a Cristina Fernández declarar sobre esos nuevos antecedentes. Es decir, en una situación inaudita, se la intenta condenar sin que ella misma pueda dar su versión de los hechos. No debe escapar en la consideración de este caso la comparación del actuar de los fiscales argentinos con la manera como lo hizo el juez Sergio Moro en Brasil cuando hizo la persecución judicial de Lula, impidiendo entonces que ésta pudiera postularse nuevamente a la presidencia. De esa manera se impuso Jair Bolsonaro, quien premió a Moro designándolo luego su ministro de Justicia. La corrupción judicial, en la forma de entrelazamientos de intereses y tráfico de influencias, estaría también presente en esta acusación contra Cristina Fernández. El propio presidente Alberto Fernández apuntó al hecho de lo que llamó el grado de fraternidad entre el fiscal y el juez de ese proceso. Esto en referencia a que el juez que lleva la causa, Rodrigo Jiménez Uriburu, y el fiscal Luciani, visitaban la finca del expresidente Mauricio Macri, donde jugaban fútbol juntos. Es decir, esto es una suerte de grupo de amigos que ciertamente comparten intereses tanto políticos como económicos y cuya principal meta en este momento, a poco más de un año de la elección presidencial en Argentina, es inhabilitar a la principal líder política del peronismo. Para ellos, ella es, por supuesto, su principal enemiga. En esto, el fiscal Luciani sigue empeñado en una tarea similar a la que en su momento se había asignado a sí mismo el fallecido fiscal Alberto Nisman. El tratar de desacreditar e inhabilitar a la principal exponente del sector más izquierdista del movimiento peronista, esto fue lo que trató de hacer él. En el ambiente tóxico creado por esta situación y esta acusación, incluso el caso Nisman ha sido reflotado estos días, ya que algunos quisieron leer en las palabras del presidente Fernández una cierta amenaza, infundada por lo demás, ya que Nisman se suicidó y todas las hipótesis de un supuesto homicidio nunca fueron probadas. Concluyendo sobre esta estrategia de la derecha para deshacerse de la presencia de Cristina Fernández, solo cabe esperar que haya una fuerte respuesta de los sectores de base del peronismo en defensa de su vicepresidenta y en repudio de esta nueva maniobra de la derecha argentina, utilizando para ello a fiscales y jueces que sí merecerían ser investigados y enjuiciados por su conducta. The Weekly Review. Reusing the courts for political persecution. For some time now, in various Latin American countries, right-wing political sectors have been using a new strategy in their eagerness to overthrow progressive governments or to proscribe unpopular leaders who embody projects for social change in the continent. The strategy consists of bringing legal cases without much evidence, relying on prosecutors and judges ideologically committed to the right or, in other cases, resorting to political trials in parliaments with right-wing majorities. And all of this is orchestrated in a noisy manner by the media, which are also controlled by the large economic groups. For greater effect in this sensationalist media, the accusations raised against these progressive leaders always allude to issues of alleged corruption. In this way, they removed President Dilma Rousseff from office in Brazil and President Fernando Lugo in Paraguay. They also managed to imprison Ignacio Lula da Silva in Brazil and proscribe Rafael Correa in Ecuador. It is a strange coincidence that all of them were leaders who, when they were in government, had implemented policies that benefited the great majority of low-income sectors, policies that, by the way, had caused the wrath of the economic and financial power holders in their respective countries. This week, it was the turn of Argentina's Vice President Cristina Fernandez, who also served as president of her country. As in other cases of Latin American leaders subject to unfounded accusations, the former president and undisputed leader of the Peronist movement has been accused of corruption in the so-called Vialidad case. Prosecutor Diego Luciani had asked the judge in charge of the case to sentence the former president to no less than 12 years in prison and to disqualify her from holding any public office in perpetuity. The trial has been marked from the beginning by procedural irregularities, the most serious of which is that new accusations were added to the original case without the inquiries being expanded on them. Mainly, Cristina Fernandez was not allowed to testify on these new antecedents. In other words, in an unprecedented situation, an attempt is being made to convict her without her being able to give her own version of the facts. In considering this case, the comparison of the actions of the Argentine prosecutors with the way in which Judge Sergio Moro acted in Brazil when he prosecuted Lula, preventing him from running again for the presidency, should not be ignored. Jailing Lula allowed Jair Bolsonaro to win the presidency, who rewarded Moro by appointing him as his Minister of Justice. Judicial corruption in the form of the intertwining of interest and influence peddling will also be present in this accusation against Cristina Fernandez. President Alberto Fernandez himself pointed to the fact of what he called the degree of fraternity between the prosecutor and the judge in this process. This in reference to the fact that the judge in charge of the case, Rodrigo Jiménez Uriburu, and the prosecutor, Luciani, used to visit the estate of former President Mauricio Macri, where they used to play soccer together. In other words, this is a sort of group of friends who certainly share interests both political and economical, and whose main goal at this moment, a little more than a year before the presidential election in Argentina, is to disqualify the main political leader of Peronism. For them, their main enemy. In this, the prosecutor Luciani is still engaged in a task similar to the one that the late prosecutor Alberto Nisman had assigned to himself, trying to discredit and disqualify the main exponent of the leftist sector of the Peronist movement. In the toxic atmosphere created by this accusation, even the Nisman case has been refloated these days, as some wanted to read in the words of President Fernandez a certain threat, unfounded, in fact, since Nisman committed suicide and all the hypotheses of an alleged homicide have never been proved. Concluding on this strategy of the right wing to get rid of the presence of Cristina Fernandez, we can only hope that there will be a strong response from the grassroots sectors of Peronism in defense of their vice president and in repudiation of this new maneuver of the Argentine right wing, using for this purpose prosecutors and judges who should be investigated and prosecuted for their conduct. Good day.
No te das la importancia que mereces y vas dejando que la vida pase. Para ti no hay tiempo casi nunca y nunca te regalas un detalle y corres por la prisa de los otros y llegas a tu vida siempre tarde y va pasando el tiempo y va pasando y vas envejeciendo en el paisaje. Y siempre tú después y siempre luego, y siempre para ti más adelante, y siempre tú detrás y siempre nunca, y el tiempo que se va sin esperarte, y siempre los demás y siempre luego, y vas envejeciendo en el paisaje, y nunca tus asuntos lo primero, y déjalo pasar, que no hace falta. Y no se te pregunta por tu risa, que se fue diluyendo con la tarde. Y siempre los demás, ¿y para cuándo? Una cita contigo en cualquier parte. Te necesitas más de lo que piensas y nunca te detienes a escucharte. Y tienes tantas cosas que decirte, pero no te pareces importante. ¿Y acaso el mes que viene si se puede? Y el tiempo que te agacha la mirada, y tú cuando los años lo permitan, y tú cuando esta crisis un día pase, y tú cuando se pueda en otra vida, y tú nunca jamás de los jamases, y el tic-tac del reloj en tu muñeca, y vas envejeciendo en el paisaje. Y no se te pregunta por tu risa, que se fue diluyendo con la tarde. Y siempre los demás, ¿y para cuándo? Una cita contigo en cualquier parte. Te necesitas más de lo que piensas y nunca te detienes a escucharte. Y tienes tantas cosas que decirte, pero no te pareces importante. De lo que piensas y nunca te detienes a escucharte, y tienes tantas cosas que decirte, pero no te pareces importante. queda contigo en un lugar hermoso. Lleva una flor para identificarte y cuéntate la historia de tu vida. Ya verás cómo vas a enamorarte. Porque no hay como tú nadie en el mundo. Porque en el mundo, como tú, no hay nadie.
Y en el fichero de hoy, fichero latino, hoy de hoy, 28 de agosto del 2022, entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo o bien la quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños más pequeños, esto es, menores de 5 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Sante, ya sea en francés o en inglés.
Festival de Cine Latinoamericano. Hoy domingo a las 17 horas, La lucha por el aborto legal. Esto está en español con subtítulos en inglés. A las 19 horas, Garabandal, Solo Dios sabe. Español con subtítulos en francés.
Este festival continuará hasta el 5 de septiembre en el Cinemat Par, esto es en el 3575 de la Avenida du Parc. Para más información puede ir al sitio web del cine, esto es el www.cinemadupar.com.
El Consulado General de Chile informa que el sitio de votación para el plebiscito del próximo domingo 4 de septiembre será el Palais de Congrès, 159 Saint-Antoine Oeste, Metro Place d'Armes.
Celebración de las fiestas patrias de Chile. Organiza Grupo Folclórico Alcoíris. Esto es el sábado 17 de septiembre a partir de las 18 horas en la Paroisse San Fabián de Ranty. Esto es el 1455 de la Avenida de Ranty. Contribución $20, niños menores de 12 años gratis. Para mayor información pueden llamar al 514-655-7808 o al 438-881-8190.
Y publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, Presence Chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal, en el 3200 Jean Brian, en la librería Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre Viejo Montréal, en el internet en la cadena Renaud Bré, en librería Argos, en el 1841 A Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue. Precio $10 más impuesto.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, será principalmente soleado con una temperatura máxima de 26 grados. Para esta noche, despejado con una mínima de 17 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica.
O también puede enviarnos su mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso, denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede también acceder a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
En primer lugar, me presentaré. Inicié la farmacovigilancia en España y el Servicio Español de Farmacovigilancia en los años 80. Fui director del Centro Coordinador del Sistema Español de Farmacovigilancia y miembro de la Comisión Nacional de Farmacovigilancia hasta la creación de la Agencia Española del Medicamento en 1999. Y desde esta fecha hasta la actualidad he sido experto externo de esta institución y durante un tiempo miembro de su Consejo Asesor. Fui presidente del Comité de Medicamentos Esenciales de la Organización Mundial de la Salud en 2004. He publicado más de 250 trabajos originales referenciados en bases de datos de revistas con revisión por pares de investigación en farmacología clínica, farmacovigilancia y farmacoepidemiología y dirigí el Centro Colaborador de la Organización Mundial de la Salud en farmacoepidemiología hasta 2017. En la actualidad soy también experto externo de la Agencia Europea del Medicamento en materia de farmacovigilancia y formo parte del Comité Científico del Grupo GIS-EPIFAR de la Agencia Francesa del Medicamento y la Alta Autoridad de Salud de Francia, aparte de seguir como consultor de otras agencias nacionales de medicamentos. No tengo conflictos de intereses relacionados con la industria farmacéutica o los productos sanitarios. Se me ha convocado a opinar sobre problemas y dificultades que se hayan producido hasta la fecha en el proceso de vacunación y en la aplicación por parte de las administraciones públicas competentes de la estrategia de vacunación frente a la COVID-19 en España y sus posteriores actualizaciones. Y en los últimos días he podido escuchar gran parte de las comparecencias ante esta comisión y he pensado que puedo aportar algunos comentarios sobre tres cuestiones. Quizá no me dé tiempo de todas ellas. La primera, y a la que voy a dedicar más tiempo, la farmacovigilancia de las vacunas y el papel de las agencias reguladoras, la EMPS en España y la EMA en la Unión Europea. La segunda, algunos aspectos relacionados con la campaña de vacunación. Y la tercera, unos comentarios, si me da tiempo, sobre los derechos de propiedad intelectual sobre las vacunas. Primero, farmacovigilancia, agencia española y agencia europea. En materia de farmacovigilancia, los comparecientes en esta comisión representantes de la Agencia Española han descrito los complejos procedimientos y mecanismos de coordinación que han desarrollado para hacer frente a la epidemia de SARS-CoV-2. Reuniones, coordinación entre diferentes organismos de la Administración, con otros Estados miembros de la Unión Europea y con la Agencia Europea y con las comunidades autónomas. Procedimientos, pero escasos resultados si se exceptúan los relativos a la alta tasa de vacunación alcanzada, que al fin y al cabo no es más que lo que llamamos una variable instrumental, pero no una variable de resultados. El resultado es la prevención de la enfermedad y de la muerte. Análogamente, los informes de farmacovigilancia de la Agencia Española, el último, el duodécimo, publicado el pasado 26 de enero, informan de más de 55.000 notificaciones recibidas de efectos adversos de las vacunas hasta el 9 de enero de 2022. De estas, 375 tuvieron desenlace mortal y más de 11.000 fueron calificadas como graves. Y cito lo que el Sistema Español de Farmacovigilancia entiende como grave, entendiéndose como tal cualquier acontecimiento adverso que requiera o prolongue la hospitalización, que dé lugar a una discapacidad significativa o persistente o a una malformación congénita que ponga en peligro la vida del paciente o que resulte mortal, así como cualquier otra condición que se considere clínicamente significativa. Repito, más de 11.000 acontecimientos adversos graves después de la vacunación notificados al sistema. La publicación de estos datos puede ser vista como un ejercicio de transparencia, pero la realidad es que a falta de más detalles son difícilmente interpretables. Por ejemplo, a pesar de que en esta fecha se estaba iniciando la vacunación infantil y de adolescentes, en enero, y de que se citan casi 900 efectos adversos en menores de 20 años, el informe no comenta los casos en este grupo de edad, precisamente el que concita mayores incertidumbres sobre la conveniencia de la vacunación. La transparencia no consiste solamente en subir informes técnicos a la web, que también, sino sobre todo en iluminar, en ayudar a dirigir la mirada y en ayudar a comprender. De lo contrario, se siembra el terreno para que proliferen la desconfianza y las suspicacias. ¿Quién sabe si por una intención de esconder la información en una montaña de datos, o quizás porque se entiende equivocadamente que esta comisión no es el foro para debatir cuestiones técnicas, este tipo de datos no han sido presentados ante sus señorías, de modo que la propia comisión no ha tenido una oportunidad de preguntar sobre el uso que se hace de ellos? Señorías, les quiero comentar algunas cuestiones técnicas que puede entender cualquier ciudadano, que creo que les pueden ser útiles. 12 consideraciones me parecen oportunas sobre la farmacovigilancia de las vacunas. La primera. Las primeras vacunas disponibles contra la COVID, como recordarán, en España, y las más utilizadas hasta el día de hoy, han sido Comirnaty de Pfizer, de la que se han administrado más de 54 millones de dosis hasta el pasado 9 de enero, y Spikevax de Moderna, con 14 millones de dosis. Estas dos vacunas se basan en una nueva tecnología. Así como las vacunas tradicionales son gérmenes atenuados o porciones de ellos que estimulan el sistema inmunitario, las vacunas de ARN mensajero introducen un ácido nucleico que da instrucciones a células de la persona vacunada para que fabriquen esta proteína del virus, la llamada spike protein, que es, a su vez, estimulará el sistema inmunitario. Conviene recordar aquí que el diccionario de la Real Academia de la Lengua Española define una vacuna como, cito, preparado de antígenos que administrado a un organismo provoca en él una respuesta de defensa. Según esta definición, las llamadas vacunas de Pfizer y Moderna no son verdaderas vacunas. Son fármacos basados en una tecnología nunca usada en terapéutica hasta ahora y menos en campañas masivas. De ahí que la vacunación masiva supuso un experimento global, y esto me parece esencial para entender lo que quiero decirles a partir de ahora, sin precedentes en la historia de la humanidad.
Que amo yo, le dedico esta canción, porque en ella puse yo todo mi amor. Al oírme ya cantar, de seguro sabrá apreciar lo mucho que la quiero yo. A la chica que amo yo, le dedico esta canción, porque en ella puse yo todo mi amor. Al oírme ya cantar, de seguro sabrá apreciar lo mucho que la quiero yo. Delia, tú eres mi amor. Solo sin tus caricias me faltaría la inspiración que se refleja hoy en tus ojos. Oh, linda nena, eres cáliz de amor. Beber yo de tus labios sería alcanzar la gloria en el amor. Ay, pero Delia, tú eres mi vida. Delia, tú eres mi amor, solo sin tus caras.
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Christian Breton of Quebec City, Quebec. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal for Sunday, August the 28th. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our show today. We have our usual 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio for you. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. We invite you to join our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We have one new member this week, Marula, who's all the way from Pakistan joining us. Welcome. And you can go and check our YouTube channel to listen to the show over again or for the first time or listen to previous shows if you like. The channel is International Radio Report. We have 676 subscribers. You can subscribe and receive notices each time the new shows are posted there. So we don't have a lot of stories today, but have a few interesting ones. And we're going to continue a discussion that we started last week on one of the new radios that's out there on the market that's causing a lot of a stir and of on-air personalities say the pandemic changed the culture at their station, especially those in bigger companies. The average radio personality now wears three hats. One third wear four, according to the new report. And the smaller the company, the more hats. Nearly half of the survey respondents said they've added more job responsibilities since COVID began, with a notable increase in the last year. Half of the respondents say they no longer have work-life balance. A majority are comfortable financially, but one-third are in debt or struggling. The desirability of medium-sized companies is on the rise, while big companies are becoming less attractive. 42% of those surveys that work in larger companies feel they are part of the company's future. The overall feeling is that radio talent is taken for granted. 46% strongly agree with that, while 37% agree. Most say they would not recommend a high school student pursue radio as a career. The general conclusion from the data Jacobs collected was that while the stress is certainly high for on-air talent, they are still very passionate about the business. Jacobs tells Radio Inc. he's planning to host a webinar soon to present the data to the entire industry. This doesn't sound really good for radio.
Nope. You know, it's like a lot of businesses. I think they're trying to squeeze more and more of what you have to do, all the tasks you have to go, not just an on-air personality, but you have to do more. When you look at some of these personalities, some of them, you know, arrive early, have to really do a lot of work before they actually get on the air to do a show. And I think they're squeezing more and more of that work to these people to try to maximize probably profits.
Yeah, if you can get fewer people to do all of the work that more people were doing before, then you're going to be cutting some salaries and some benefits and what have you. So, and if people are a little worried about, you know, am I going to keep my job? Well, then you're going to take on that extra work and maybe not complain about it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the owners have the upper hand here, maybe with a little leverage over the employees and, you know, we're maybe taking advantage of that because of it. So I think I can understand that comment too about, you know, not necessarily wanting to encourage younger people to get into radio. It's not the glamorous thing that it used to be.
No.
you know, when there were the big personalities and people tuned in just as much for the person as they did for the content, you know, maybe that's not happening anymore. And maybe that prestige thing of, wow, I'm on the radio, doesn't mean all that much anymore.
As the older guys are leaving, and these were the ones that people would tune to, it seems like the newer generation getting in there is, I don't know if it's incapable of creating enough of a brand for themselves to be a personality that everyone goes to, or it's just a change in the way radio is today. But definitely, it's not as important. And I could see that some people might not want to go into the radio field anymore because that's not what it is. You're not going to be the big star anymore.
Certainly on FM. I mean, many music FM stations, you barely hear the announcers other than maybe the morning show and maybe the drive home show. The rest of the day, a lot of it is voice tracked. Person's not even really there. Or, you know, you've got, 50 minutes worth of music and 9 minutes worth of commercials, and the announcer gets to talk for like a minute, an hour or something. You know, you're going to be doing something else during that time too. And that's maybe not what you expected if you were going to be, quote unquote, on the radio.
Yeah.
You know.
So NASA posts what a black hole sounds like. And this is by Annabelle Timsit, The Washington Post. One dark humored Twitter user wrote, "I can confirm that the black hole noise NASA released is the sound of hell." Another said, "New genre just cropped, cosmic horror." What does a black hole sound like? Both creepy and ethereally beautiful, according to people who've listened to an audio clip posted on Twitter by NASA. The U.S. Space Agency tweeted what it called a remixed sonification of the black hole at the center of a galaxy cluster known as Perseus, which lies about 240 million light-years away from Earth. The sound waves identified there nearly two decades ago were extracted and made audible for the first time this year, according to NASA. The 34-second clip set social media ablaze, with many people gobsmacked that anything, let alone what sounds like an eerie guttural moan, could escape a black hole. But the idea that there is no sound in space is actually a popular misconception, the agency said. While most of the space is a vacuum with no medium for sound waves to travel through, a galaxy cluster has copious amounts of gas that envelop the hundreds and even thousands of galaxies within it, providing a medium for the sound waves to travel, it explained. The clip, which NASA describes as Black Hole Remix, was first released in early May to coincide with NASA's Black Hole Week. But a tweet Sunday by NASA Exoplanets team really took off, with the clip being viewed more than 13 million times. The sound waves were discovered in 2003, when after 53 hours of observation, researchers with NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory discovered the pressure waves sent out by the black hole caused ripples in the cluster's hot gas that could be translated into a note. But humans couldn't hear that note because its frequency was too low, the equivalent of a B minor flat, some 57 octaves below the middle C note of a piano, according to NASA. So astronomers at Chandra remixed the sound and increased its frequency by 57 and 58 octaves. Another way to put this is that they are being heard 144 quadrillion and 288 quadrillion times higher than their original frequency, NASA said. Experts have cautioned that the sound of NASA's remix isn't exactly what you'd hear if you were somehow standing beside a black hole. Human ears wouldn't be sensitive enough to be able to pick up those sound waves. Michael Smith, professor of astronomy at the University of Kent in England, told the Post, "But they are there. They're the right sort of frequency, and if we amplified it, we would then be able to hear it," Smith said. He likened it to a radio. You turn up the sound, the volume is higher, then you hear it. So we have that 34-second clip to have you guys listen to it. Thank you. So I think we could be preparing for Halloween with this kind of sound, actually.
Yeah, the timing's pretty good on that. First off, you wouldn't want to be standing beside a black hole.
No, not really.
You wouldn't be standing, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
But yeah, it's interesting that, you know, they're getting these cosmic sounds coming that they're now able to manipulate them and mix them. And hey, it's a new job for DJs. They can create these cosmic mixes.
Yep, absolutely.
There is a reason to get into radio. We have found it.
That reminds me of, was it last year or 2 years ago when they actually released what it sounded like on Mars? And it was kind of weird. Yeah.
There's, you know, people track these Earth sounds and stuff in the very, very low frequency range. And, you know, some people are really into that sort of thing. So, yeah, there are these natural sounds. Jupiter's one that's been, you can monitor on shortwave, actually.
Yes.
What is it? Somewhere up in 20 megahertz, 20, I think
between,
it is.
Between 20 and 25. I think it's centered around 22. We possibly all have heard Jupiter at some point without even knowing we were hearing Jupiter when tuning around the bands.
Yeah, interesting. By the way, Jupiter doesn't QSL though.
No.
So, and don't bother sending a reception report.
But it's pretty good DX though for the distance.
It is, yes. Nice to add to your log. Next, we move to an interesting story. I think we should challenge this one ourselves. Let me know what you think when we're finished the story here.
Yeah.
A record-setting 261-hour broadcast. This comes from Radio Inc. KAPA radio station, Hawaii afternoon drive host, Tommy Kahikina Ching, set a new world record for continuous radio broadcast by remaining on the air for 261 consecutive hours. He broadcast 22 hours per day, every day from Monday, August the 1st through noon on Friday, August the 12th. He also raised more than $50,000 for the Hawaii Island United Way. The Hawaii United Way president, Karen Davis, said when he approached us about partnering with him to achieve his goal to hold the longest DJ broadcast while simultaneously raising $50,000 for us, we were honored and elated to join him on this endeavor. Tommy was thrilled to take on this challenge. It had been my dream to take control of a radio station and bring our community together to do something that no one else has ever done. I wanted to show that even donations of 50 cents or a couple of dollars could have a huge impact on for the organization that helps those in need. Those donations will allow Hawaii Island Way to fund programs for our island, Tommy continued. In Hawaii, we say that aloha can't be bought, only shared. Pacific Media Group Regional Vice President Joshua Mednick said that Tommy is a very special person. Our responsibility as broadcasters is to serve the public interest. These last 12 days, Tommy has taken that to a whole new level. This is a great demonstration of the power of local radio. Pacific Media Group was born in the state of Hawaii and has remained purely local for over 35 years. All of us that work here share a commitment to our island, but what Tommy has done is something truly amazing. He can come in late next Monday if he wants.
So when are we going to beat that record of him?
Well, we got to do 262 to break it. Let me check my calendar. I'll get back to you on that.
22 hours a day. That's not a lot of sleep, actually. Huh?
No. So you're allowed that, 2 hours breaks throughout each day? I don't know. Well, we'll have to think about this one.
Then, of course, we do need to have 262 hours of content.
Somehow, I think we might be able to come up with that, though.
You know, that's a possibility. Just when we do the show, you know, we often talk for an hour, 2 hours sometimes before we even start recording the show. So, yeah, that's a definite possibility. Different points of interest we have.
I'm not sure we're going to find a radio station that's going to let us take 262 hours worth of their time, though.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. We're going to have to we're going to have to start our own station if we want to do it.
That's right. There you go. We'll do it on YouTube or something.
Oh man,
you're almost there on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I had a 5.5-hour run, but that's that's a nice story for raising money to help.
I wonder how many people listened for a good portion of it.
Yeah, these are the kind of shows or the kind of things that you want to listen But yeah, you know, it's an off and on thing. You turn on the radio, listen what's happening, do something else, come back later.
They don't mention what the content was, though. I wonder what he was doing for that 261 hours. I mean, how do you know he's on the air if he was playing music and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know what if KAPA is a talk station or what that station is. They call him the afternoon drive host, which would imply that maybe it's a music station. I'm not sure. We'll look into this. We'll have to see.
You know, they just say continuous radio broadcast. So it doesn't say it has to be just spoken word. It could be music in there. And he just has to be on the air and be behind the microphone when he needs to talk. But I guess it's a mix of probably music and talk. What's happening with our son? Well, last week we had a lot of activity. It kind of quieted down over the weekend, but we did have quite a few geomagnetic storms last week. Now, this week, things have picked up again because a new sunspot, AR3089, started crackling with a series of intensifying M-class solar flares. So, the activity has picked up again, and even though the sunspot is not Earth-directed for now, as it moves across the solar disk, it's probably going to impact us more. But there are a lot of radio blackouts that have happened because of the flares. They say that it's actually growing and is on the verge of producing possibly some X-class solar flares, which are the strongest flares you can have on the sun. So that might have a big impact on our radio hobby and maybe, you know, see some more auroras as the sky actually now, as we're getting into the fall, the sun sets much earlier. Now, for this week, what's going to happen is there is a coronal hole that is going to have some solar wind reaching us possibly on the 29th or the 30th. Add that to all the flares and all the coronal mass ejections that are happening. It's a perfect mix for some geomagnetic storming conditions. Now, if you want to know what the bands are like, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
Bonjour, vous êtes à l'écoute du International Radio Report sur CKUT 90,3 FM à Montréal, une émission de 30 minutes tous les dimanches matins qui parle du merveilleux monde de la radio, autant international que local.
So, this week, I was supposed to receive one of the brand new receivers that came out, which was the Ethon Satellite HD radio. And I got a nice big box in the mail Monday morning. Happy guy opens the radio, turns into a grumpy guy because I had the wrong radio. So I was expecting to test the new HD receiver for Ethon, even though a lot of the things about it are negative. I got a call actually because I posted it on my Facebook group, and I think about half an hour later, I got a call from HRO. Somebody saw the post and said, oh, we goofed up here. I had the option of, look, they're going to ship me another one, and I'm going to return the one that I got, which was an Ethon Elite 750. And after thinking about it, I finally decided, well, you know what? Maybe it's better for me to get the Ethon Satellite HD when they will have fixed all the flaws that people are discovering. And I had an Ethon Elite 750. I did not have that radio. And a lot of people ask me over time, you know, I ever tried that radio? What do you think about it? So I decided to keep it for review purposes. And that was a very active week in review purposes with that radio, I can tell you that. So first of all, about the Ethon Satellite HD, we have more information about it. One of the main reasons that they stopped selling it was the HD radio side, which locks. Apparently, Universal, when they tested it, the HD radio locked 3 times in an hour. So the radio just froze. So it's obviously a big problem there, and it probably is fixable with a firmware upgrade because these radios now have, you know, little pieces of code. They're almost computers now. So that probably would be one thing. Apparently also, because HRO did tell me when they called me on Monday that the dealer actually told everybody, stop selling them and you remove them from your computers to make sure you don't sell one. So that means Ethan is going to look into it. According to Universal, Ethan said it could be several weeks before things are fixed. So we're going to wait for that in the future. In the meantime, there is one guy that got one and posted a couple of videos on a YouTube channel. First things that he did was to compare that new $600 Ethan Satellite HD against a Texan H501, which is the flagship, if you want, of Texan right now as a portable radio, which is half the price. And first things that he observed is that the half-priced H501 seems to perform a lot better than the new Ethan Satellite HD, which is not good news, because if shortwave performance isn't that great, that is a major problem. And I think if I had to rant a little bit, I think Ethan just decided to take, you know, the same, because it's the same box, the same radio enclosure that they used in the past radio, which was the E1XM. And I think they just put some, you know, DSP-based receiver in there and tried to sell it as a brand new expensive receiver that everybody wants. And I think it's not working out the way it should. So that's the latest news we've got. And it's not good news, actually. For the radio that I got, which was the Ethan Elite 750, I have to say, it is a extremely sexy looking radio. I mean, it is a big desktop portable. It has a rotatable antenna on top. It is a long wave, medium wave, short wave receiver. I can see the attraction immediately to anyone out there looking for a short wave radio, because it looks really cool. In my own tests, the wide filter is way too wide. And that is a huge problem, because it can make it extremely difficult to tune in stations that are close together. Not counting that when stations are not, you know, full quieting, full power, you have a lot of noise that gets into the radio, because the wide filter gets the noise around it a lot more. It's also off by 3 kilohertz, which I don't understand how a $400 radio can be like that. So that's the main issue that I have on it. There are kind of workarounds. One of them was to tune into the narrow mode. And if you want to listen to an international broadcast, for example, you tune it 2 kilohertz off so that the audio sounds clearer. But still, I rant a lot, because for $400, that radio shouldn't be like that. It's kind of fun for the rest. You know, the tuning of the single sideband is kind of cool. It's an old school type radio with a BFO knob, but it works great. It's quite sensitive, even a little too much on the outdoor antenna that I have here, the ML830. It often overloaded on bands where there was a lot of strong stations. But there you have a RF gain button on it, an attenuator, so you can actually kick that in to make the signals better. Long wave is interesting for one reason. Not a lot of radios go there, so if you're looking for a radio that can tune the medium wave part where there's NAVTEX transmission around 518 kilohertz, a lot of radios actually omit that little part, and they jump from, like, you know, 500 kilohertz up to the medium wave band, and they have that part missing there. This one actually is very, it's continuous. It's really from 100 kilohertz to 29,999. Doesn't miss or any gap. You can actually tune those 518 kilohertz NAVTEX if you want with it. So it's not all a disaster. It's actually an okay radio, but I can't recommend it, even though if it looks so cool, for the simple reason that for the price that it's sold, $400, it shouldn't have the flaws that I discovered on them. There's a little tip that I can give you guys if you still want it, because I know that it's so irresistible that people will still buy it because it looks so cool and will cope with the problems. The Texan S2000 version, which is the same exact radio, is $280. So you can save $120 by buying the Texan version on the Anonco website, A-N-O-N-C-O, and it's going to cost you less. So you're going to save some money at least buying the Texan version.
Yeah. Now, if people want to see the radio, now, when you put the YouTube version of our show up on the YouTube channel, you actually put some pictures and stuff to go along with the show. So if you want to go and see some pictures of the radio and hear Gilles talking about it as he's done on the show here, you'll be able to see, you know, some shots of the radio so that you see exactly what the radio is that we're talking about. And then, of course, you can go and check your videos on your YouTube channel. So maybe we should remind people of how to get to that YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's the official SWL channel. And that channel has a lot of radio videos. So if you're in the market for a new radio, actually, it's the place to go because I review a lot of receivers, and including the Ethon Elite 750. So check that out. I think there's a lot of interesting content there. There's a lot of videos for beginners. I've been starting a new series for beginners to try to help them understand, you know, what different features are and how they work. And I also am starting a series soon about taking all the radios that people actually own and tuning it, playing around with it, so that people see the buttons I press and the way I use it to tune single sideband or international broadcasts. I've had a few in the past, and people say they're very helpful because it's visual.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think that's part of the problem. Like you said, you had a lot of people ranting and, you know, complaining about the reviews. But in many cases, you know, their listening conditions in different locations are one thing to take into consideration. A lot of new people may be getting their first shortwave radio, not understanding, well, what's the problem with these things that he's pointing out? Like, you know, why is it so important? So there's a lot to learn with shortwave. It's not your typical AM/FM radio.
Definitely. You know.
So definitely make use of some of those YouTube videos. I think it'll really help you understand to buy a new radio and also help you to understand the radios that you may already have.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We do. We start off over in Japan, the All Asian DX contest. It is organized by the Japan Amateur Radio League. It is running on 160 through 10 meters, no work bands. It's a sideband contest. Single sideband is the mode. And it runs from 0100 Zulu September 3rd to 2359 Zulu September the 4th.
There's the Colorado QSO Party, 1300 Zulu September 3rd to 04 Zulu September 4th, organized by the Pikes Peak Radio Amateur Association. Bands, there's the HF bands from 160 to 10 meters, excluding the work bands. There's all VHF and UHF bands, including 6 meters. Specifically, all amateur bands are included except the work bands. This includes all bands above VHF and UHF. No repeater or satellite QSOs. And the modes are SSB, phone, CW, and digital are TTY, PSK31, and other digital modes are accepted.
The German Telegraphy Activity Group is holding the Straight Key Party, 1300 Zulu to 1600 Zulu, September the 3rd. It's 40-meter band only, and it's CW only.
There's the CWOPS, CW Open, 2000 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, September 3rd, organized by the CW Ops. Bands 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, and it's CW only.
And finally, the PODX S070 Club has the J. Hudak Memorial 80-meter sprint, 2000 Zulu September 3rd to 2000 Zulu September 4th. That is organized by the Penn, Ohio DX Society. And the contest is dedicated to the memory of J. Hudak, KA3 X-ray. It's operating on 80 meters only, and this one is using PSK31 mode only.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in, and we'll have all these stories and information and links to the contest posted up on our Facebook page right after the show, so you can check them out there. And of course, as we said, go to our YouTube channel if you want to listen to the show again and sort of get the visual aspect of the show as well, as Gilles puts together an accompanying video to go with the audio of the program. So thanks for joining us today. We'll do it again next Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern, 14:30 UTC. here on CKUT at 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Hey, get up, brothers! Don't sit there with your head hanging down. Hey, get up, brothers! I know the ghetto have got you down, but there's something I want to say to you.